The Bible said that over in the book of Luke, it tells about the birth of Jesus Christ to a Virgin Mary. And the Bible said when the angel appeared unto Mary and told her she was going to have a son, and he was going to call her name Jesus, and she said, Lord, how can this thing be, since I never been with a man? But now listen to this. The angel said to Mary, it's never happened before, paraphrasing, and it will probably never happen again. But Mary, you need to know, with God, all things are possible. If you're here this morning and you think you went too far down the road to get back to God, quit listening to the devil. Wherever you may have backslid on God, you may have got away from God, but I can promise you this, if you want to make it back, all you got to do is just call upon the name of the Lord, and you're going to find him right where you left him at. Amen? God knows where you're at, and you know where you're at, so it shouldn't be a problem. So we find that Jesus was born by Mary. He raised up, he growed up, and you know, without that birth, we would not have a Jesus today. I want you to think about what I'm going to talk about here. I'm going to slow it down, for this is too good to miss. God, if it's God's going to bring it out the way I think it is. But without a birth, there will be no Jesus. And then the Bible said he grew in his ministry. He called disciples. And the Bible said, and the Bible tells us that he was here for 33 and a third years, I believe it was. And the Bible said three and a third, 3.5 years, he ministered through Galilee, Capernaum, and all through there. He done the healing, the saving, and cast out devils. He done this and he done that. And the Bible says that Jesus grew and was well known. But the Bible said that some people didn't like it even from the very beginning of his birth. So the Bible said that sinners got together and said, let's crucify him, let's get rid of him. Accused him of lying, accused him of cheating, accused him of being a wine drinker and all of that. But he was none of that. But they said, let's crucify him, let's get rid of him. There's a lot of people in this world going and things going on today, they would like to crucify him. They are trying to crucify him. But they didn't stop him back then, and man is not going to stop him today. But the Bible says that when he was in the Garden of Eden there after the Last Supper, and he had told the disciples, time and time again, that his time was getting near. Now let me tell you something, mine and your time is nearer than it was last Sunday. Amen? And the Bible said that they came and got Jesus out of the garden. They took him into Pilate's hall. And the Bible said that while he was in there, they blindfolded him. Spit on him, cursed him, plucked a beard from his face, took his old robe off and put on a purple robe, making fun of him. And he went through a night like no human being ever went through before, nor never will go through it again. Can you imagine the pain and the agony that man went through when you read about it? And we can't even imagine a little bit of what he really went through. The Bible says no human person went through it without dying. And the Bible said they done it all night long. And the Bible said the next morning that they took him out, hitched him to a hitching pole, and took a whip and beat him and ripped the flesh from his body. They prophesied and made fun of him and said, You saved others. Let's see you save yourself. And the Bible said they took him out and they crucified him. Took him out and they nailed him to an old rugged cross. Stood him up on it. The Bible said from 9 o'clock that morning to 12 o'clock, he hung on that cross, and they would walk by wagging their heads and pointing at him, making fun of him. And then from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, he hung there. 6 hours on the cross, he hung there. Brother Sandy and Alvin and them used to sing, 6 hours on the cross, he hung there dying. Boy, that was a powerful song. 6 hours, my friends, he hung there. Did he have to hang there? Did he have a choice? Yes, he had a choice to hang there or not to hang there. If it had been me, I know what my choice would have been. I said, enough's enough. I'm not dying for a bunch of sinners. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? He came down here from the portal of heaven. God sent him down here to do a job, and he done his job. And the Bible said that while he was there, the Bible said, hanging on that cross from 9 to 12 and then from 12 to 3 o'clock in the evening, there was darkness come over all the land, over all the land. And the Bible said the hills crumbled, the mountains quaked, and the Bible said that the Roman soldier, Dean talked a little bit about this morning, I named that Roman soldier, that stood there. See, the Romans were the one crucified him. The Jews were the one found him guilty and accused him. But the Jews at that time was under Rome, and they could not put anybody to death. They had to go through the Romans. And so they had one Roman there, Dean, I believe the same one that you was talking about this morning, that stood there by the side of the old rugged cross where Jesus was hanging on. The Bible said that night in Pilate's hall they made a crown of thorns, big long thorns. Man made them. They put it on his head and they shoved it down. Could you imagine the pain and the agony that Jesus went through there when they shoved all them thorns down in his head, and no doubt blood began to run out down through his face and down through his hand? And the Bible says when they nailed him to that cross, don't you know the blood came from his hands? And after they nailed his feet, and when they had him down there in the courtyard beating him, the Bible said every time they'd take a whip and pull it through him, that the flesh would pull from his body. Did he have to do it? No, he didn't have to do that. He could have called as many angels as he'd wanted to, Brother Loy, and said, Father, I can't go through no more. And God would have sent him. And he got him out of that. But I'm so thankful today, Gene Dale. I'm so thankful today that he had his mind made up that he was going to finish the job that he started to do. He was going to go all the way plumb to the top of Calvary's Hill there. Amen. And he came to do it not for himself, but he came to do it for every person sitting in here this morning. Every one of us this morning. You say, well, he didn't die for me. Yes, he died for you. The Bible says, I believe Psalm 100 said, you don't own yourself anymore. And let me tell you something. Every one of you this morning, you think you're in control of yourself. You think you're in control of your life. You think you can do what you want to do, go where you want to go, come back where you want to go. You think you don't need God. I was one of them one day, thought the same way, but I found myself in a place where Satan had took me to that I had no other place to go except turn back and go back to God. And praise God, when I got back there, he was right where I left him at. And when I cried out to him, he said, you're forgiven. Hallelujah. If it hadn't been for him, I'd have never made it back. Jesus said, you don't own yourself. Jesus said, I made you. And he said, I bought you, I paid for you. So Jesus said, you belong to me. But he said, I'm going to give you a choice. He said, you can serve me and follow me. And he said, I'll take you to heaven. But he said, even though I own you, you're going to have to make your own choice this morning, whether you want to go to heaven or go to hell this morning. A lot of them has made their choice this morning, and that choice has been the wrong choice, church, because they've chosen to go to hell. They won't have nothing to do with church. They don't want nothing to do with church. They don't want to hear about Jesus. The devil don't want you to stop and think on your own self today. He don't want you to think with your mind. The devil wants to think for you. And a lot of people is letting him do that. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I have tried it, and I just can't live a Christian life. I say that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says the way of a sinner, the way of a transgressor is hard, my friend. And the Bible says we're all going to have troubles and trials, whether we're Christians or whether we're not Christians, Brother Lord. But let me say this today. I found out I've had got problems, had them all my life. But I found out one thing. When I turned my life over to Jesus and let him, Tracy, start running my life and doing my thinking instead of the devil, I found out I've got somebody, amen, to help me through my trials and through my troubles and through my sorrows and through my sicknesses this morning. Hallelujah! No matter what I got to go through, when my time comes, and I don't know when that's going to be, but I got news for you. I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner if I go or a winner if I stay. His old song, Paul said over there, I believe in the book of Acts, I believe it was, he said, I'm betwixt two opinions. And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? And Paul said, I don't know where I want to go on and be with the Lord, or I don't know where I want to stay here. Let me tell you something. He said, I know it'd be better for me if I just went on to be with Jesus. But he said it'd be better for you people. He said, if the Lord leaves me here and we can fight these battles together and we can keep on growing. Hey, man. And that's the way I am this morning, Sheila. I'm here to stay as long as God wants me to stay. Hey, man. And if he decides to take me, then he will take me. If he decides to leave me here, and I hope he does for a while, not that I'm not ready to go, I am, and I know it better in heaven than it is here. But if I stay, I hope he gives me the strength and the health to preach another 75 years. Amen. Some people say, well, I doubt it. Well, I don't doubt it. If God wants me to stay here, he'll do it. Amen. Amen. And they nailed him to the cross. He shed his blood. He gave everything he had. Everything he had. Even to the last drop of blood. And I was sitting there reading in one of the Gospels where that Roman soldier, the two thieves hung on one side and on the other. And the people hung, you saved others, save yourself. And one of the murderers and thieves said to Jesus, said, if you who you say you are, get us down from here. Get us down from here. And the other, on the other side of Jesus, looked at him and said, I'm going to just paraphrase you, leave him alone. We are due what we're getting. We have committed the crime for it, and we deserve what the penalty of it is. So leave him alone. Said, this man has done nothing to deserve death here. And he's looked at Jesus and he said, remember me in paradise. You remember what he told that old thief on the cross there? He said, this day, he said, you will be with me in paradise. People say you got to be water baptism before you go to heaven. It's good if you can. But if you can't and you're like that thief was and didn't have a chain, I'm going to tell you, he's going to be there. It don't matter what anybody else says. That thief's going to heaven with Jesus this morning. So we see the birth of Jesus when it started. And without the birth, there would have been no Jesus. And now then, we went through the crucifixion. If there had not been a crucifixion, there would not have been a death. And if there hadn't been a death, there would not have been no Jesus. So we've got two places there. He was born and he died for the sins of the world. And the Bible said that they came. Let me think back here just a minute. You know, the Bible said that they gave him vinegar to drink. In the third hour, it said Jesus bowed his head. Bowed his head, and he said, "It is finished." The devil and the people back in those days, they thought Jesus said, "I am finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." What was he talking about? He had accomplished what he came to do. Amen. He accomplished death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He put that behind him. The old devil and them sat back there and they said, "Boy, I knowed we'd get him. I knowed we'd get rid of him one day. I knew if we'd stir the people up, I knew that they'd get rid of him. Now then they've got rid of him. And now then I've got everything to myself." But let me tell you something. The Bible said he put him in a tomb there. And the Bible said he put him in a tomb. And people say, "Well, he was in that tomb 3 days. No, he wasn't in that tomb 3 days. They put him in there. You know where he went to? He went down to the pits of hell. And he took the keys out of the devil's hand. Where there's probably a shouting and a hollering and dancing and partying. And he took the keys out of the devil's hell. And the Bible said over Matthew over there, that he set the saints loose where was in captive to death. And they went into the city and testified of it. And I believe with all my heart that when that old Roman soldier standing there, and before the sun went down, before the Sabbath began, it was unlawful for one to stay on the cross at death. And the Bible said they went by to break the legs to make sure they were dead. They broke the two legs of the thieves on the cross. Broke their legs to make sure they were dead. But now listen to this. Said when they got to Jesus, they didn't break his legs because he was dead already. You know, it had been prophesied not a bone of him will be broken. Not a bone of him be broken. But that Roman soldier standing there with a sword or spear, whatever he had, the Bible said to make sure before they took him down that he was dead. And I'm sure the captain or somebody gave him order to thrust that sword in his side. Prince, he done it for you and me. He done it for the sins of the world. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 8, said when we were yet sinners, he commended his love to us. He died for us when we was a sinner. He didn't come to die for the saved. He come to die for you and me that was all lost and without any hope and without any God. Amen. And I've said it and I still believe it. I believe when that Roman soldier pushed that sword in his side, and the Bible said blood and water gushed out. I believe that Roman soldier, I believe with all my heart, that some of that blood of Jesus Christ sprayed out on him. Because the Bible said he looked up at him and something happened to him. And he said, surely this was the Son of God. How give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Now them two events that done took place, I'm coming up to the third one. And the Bible said in Luke 23, well before they took him in chapter 23, they took him and Joseph of Arimathea and another came and begged the body of Jesus. And I read the history on it, and they said usually they didn't let nobody have them bodies they took care of. But the Bible said that he asked them if he's dead, and they said he's dead. And they told him, go get him down. And they went and took him down, him and Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, went in hoping. Took him down, and the Bible said Joseph wrapped him in linen, his own clean, white linen. And the Bible said that he took him and laid him not among the thieves and all, but he took him and laid him in the garden. And the Bible said he laid him in a tomb that had never been used before. Back then, they just hewed out big holes back in the wall, put them in them, rolled a stone door where nothing couldn't get to. And he was on this occasion, the Bible said that they remember what Jesus said, them cruel ones that crucified him, and told them, said, we remember what that man said, that liar said. He said, put him in that tomb, and he was going to come out in 3 days. They had heard what Jesus said. And he would just go make it sure, and they went and cemented it in to make sure he wasn't going to get out. I read one place where it was Joseph Arimathea's tomb, because nobody had never laid in it. I believe he had heard Jesus say, you put me in that tomb in 3 days, I'm going to come out. So I'll look at it this way. He knew that Jesus was just going to have to borrow his tomb for 3 days, because he believed he was coming out. And the Bible said, now upon the first day of the week, chapter 24 and verse 1, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, or the cave, or whatever. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, different ones of the Gospels gives a little different account of each one, but it all comes out the bottom line, the same one. He was not in the tomb. And the Bible said, and he entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Two men. I believe them was angels sent from heaven. And the Bible said in verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Look at somebody and say, he's not in the tomb, he is risen. Tell somebody that. He's not here. He has risen. Listen to this. The angel said, Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, a sinful man, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He had told them that through Matthew, Mark, I guess Luke and John, everywhere the Gospels preached this at or taught this. He told them. He told them time and time again. But they was just like we are. We forget a lot of times, don't we? We forget about what Jesus tells us sometimes. And the Bible said when the angel told them that, listen to verse 8. And the Bible says, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then Peter arose and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. You know, people today were just like some people back then, Tracy. They just seem to be as idle tales. There's people today don't really believe it. You know that? They don't really believe that Jesus was ever born. They don't believe that Jesus died for them. They don't believe that Jesus rose for them. Let me tell you something. The prophecies has come to pass. And all three of them, the birth, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, all three of them has come to pass just like the Bible said they would. There's one more. One more before this thing, God's going to shut the door on it. And I believe that's getting close to happening.
What is it, Brother Ralph? It's the return of
Jesus Christ. Return of Jesus Christ. How many believes he's coming soon?
This old world and what I've been seeing on the news and what's going on. And I'm just going to say it in our governments and in a lot of the churches and a lot of places, letting all this stuff come in and just sinful. The Bible calls it abomination. Abomination. They don't believe his word when he tells them that if you don't repent of your sins, that you're going to be a reckoning one of these days and you're going to be cast in hell fire and brimstone for eternity. And a lot of times these preachers like to talk about eternity in hell, you know, place where you'll never die. Let me tell you something. Eternity is going to be in hell just as much as it is heaven. A time without end. Time without end. And the sad part of it is, nobody has to go to hell. Nobody has to. If you go there, you choose to go there. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame God. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your husband. You can't blame your children. You can't blame nobody if you go to hell. Because the Bible says you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for your own self. You ain't going to give an account for somebody else. And somebody else is not going to give an account for you, Gene Dale. We're going to give an account for our own self. Mom and Daddy, that's going to be one time they ain't going to help you. If you make it to heaven, you ain't going to get their own mom and daddy just what they were and how they lived. You ain't going to get their own grandma and grandpa. I tell my children, they ain't going to get to heaven on this preacher's coattail. If you get there, you're going to get there on your own. Because I'm trying my best to get there. I'm not going to miss heaven. Not going to miss it. The Bible says if we miss heaven, we missed it all. The Bible says, you know, I hear the preacher tonight, on TV, and he said, Christian people is the most happiest people in the world. But he also said, Christianity, there's less and less of them going to church. I wouldn't trade Jesus for nothing. What about you this morning? He has risen, church. He's risen. And what's going on now, I'm telling you, all signs,
everything is completed, the way I see it, it is completed, except one thing to take place, and that's that eastern sky split. And when it does, it's going to be in a blink of an eye. If you ain't ready, you put it off too long. Because if you ain't ready, you ain't going to have time to get ready, and you're going to be left down here. That's going to be terrible when you think about it. If you've got a wife going on or a husband going on, you're not ready to go. If you've got a mom and daddy going on, kids, and you're not ready to go. You trying to scare me? I hope I can scare you enough that you'll come up here this morning and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.